It's Monday, July 12th. I'm Akilah Hughes.
And I'm Gideon Resnick, and this is What a Day, congratulating the Italian national team for their win in the sport that we call soccer, but they call soccer ball playing.
Right. I think the correct term in Europe is actually soccer ball kicking into the goal contest.
That is correct. And Italy is officially the best at it.
You know, they deserve. Good for them. On today's show, the CDC outlines how schools can reopen their classrooms this fall, plus we'll have headlines.
But first, the latest.
We are now 40 years into the experiment of letting giant corporations accumulate more and more power. And what have we gotten from it? Less growth, weakened investment, fewer small businesses.
Yeah, that was President Biden last Friday after signing an executive order with the aim to boost competition for businesses. The order has 72 initiatives spanning more than a dozen federal agencies, but let's just focus on a few. So, Akilah, what all is in here?
All right. It's a lot of good stuff. In a broad sense, the intent of the order is to get federal agencies to stop slacking on their duty to oversee big corporations and practices. And the ultimate goal is to encourage competition and discourage monopolies. The first and biggest thing that I noted in the order has to do with the internet, which, as we all know, takes up too much of our time, but also is often slow to connect and spotty. We've all been there. Plus, when it comes to actually finding a provider, we unfortunately don't get many options, if we get options at all. The executive order encourages the Federal Trade Commission to reinstate net neutrality rules and find ways to stop or limit broadband providers' ability to cut exclusive deals with landlords and neighborhoods. Anecdotally, so I used to live in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, and we had no fiber optic options. We just had Spectrum, and it was very expensive and super shoddy. So I'm just relishing in the fact that these companies might actually have to offer great service at competitive prices because we won't just be forced to use them anymore. But also, in the tech of it all, the administration is ordering agencies to actually scrutinize tech companies acquiring each other before everything on the planet just becomes Facebook.
Yeah, I certainly do not want that. So this is a great start. What other industries are actually being targeted by the executive order?
Okay, so Biden also has his sights set on airline companies, really just playing the hits of industries that have long screwed over their customers. Essentially, airlines will now have to disclose add-on fees for seats and baggage and actually allow refunds on flights regardless of people paying hundreds for flight insurance, which I think makes sense. I mean, I've been booted from flights because they were oversold with no compensation, but if I want to bail, I have to pay. Screw that. Make it make sense.
We are not for that here at WAD. I hope you're listening. Another part of this executive order also takes a look at healthcare as well. What is that about?
All right. So we all know that it's too expensive. And though Medicare for All didn't land in this order, there are some solid updates to our broken system. For example, the order will allow the import of cheaper drugs from Canada and more scrutiny of hospital mergers. So while it's not everything we could dream of, for someone living with diabetes and expensive insulin options, this could really mean the difference between having to ration insulin and being able to actually manage their condition. Further, on the healthcare front, the order makes it so that those with hearing loss can purchase hearing aids over the counter, which could end up saving them thousands of dollars.
Yeah, so there's healthcare, there's tech industries. We mentioned another thing earlier, banking as well. What's that about?
All right, so I love this. The executive order makes it so that it's easier to switch banks by requiring those institutions to allow their customers to take their transaction data with them. Meaning, it's not going to be the end of the world to get your Netflix auto payment to shift over to the new bank. And it's honestly kept me with bad banks for so long just because it's been such a hassle.
Yeah, I mean, when I actually stop using other people's accounts, this will be huge for me. And beyond just making businesses have to actually compete for our dollars, this also means better circumstances for workers as well.
Yes, so that's at least what the administration is betting on. In the White House press release, they make the point that without adequate competition for jobs in town, it's harder for workers to negotiate for higher wages, and non-compete agreements make it really hard for contractors and retail workers to ever actually make more money. The Biden administration says that this lack of options costs the average family $5,000 per year. But beyond what I've mentioned, there's a lot of affected industries in this order, and I don't really have qualms with anything I've read. So to get you all more informed, we have a link to the White House statement in our show notes. And that's the latest on this executive order. But Gideon, a few days ago, the federal government gave a big update on schools. Catch us up.
Yeah. So late last week, the CDC issued guidelines to school districts for the fall, big topic, of course, to signal its strong desire to have those classrooms fully reopen. Now, the department acknowledged how insanely challenging remote learning has been for everyone involved, from students to teachers to parents. But while it recommended certain actions, the CDC is actually letting local officials decide what they actually do because of how vaccination rates vary widely in different areas.
All right. So at a base level, what are those recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, it's ones that we have like come to expect. For one, they recommend masks indoors for everyone two and older who is not vaccinated. Also, they kept in place the distancing standard that kids are 3 feet away from each other inside a classroom. That's as opposed to 6 feet. But they had a caveat where if all the kids in the class would not be able to fit into a room with 3 feet between them, then schools could use other tactics like more indoor masking, different ventilation, et cetera, and so forth. The CDC also said that schools themselves should be actively promoting vaccination. And of course, because it's ultimately in the hands of localities, districts can tighten or loosen possible restrictions given factors like vaccination rates and the spread of the Delta variant. And already we're seeing how some states are already going their own way. So California, for instance, just said that they want all students masked up regardless of vaccination status. And of course, there's the opposite where more than half a dozen states like Texas and Iowa have banned mask requirements outright.
Okay, well, may the odds be ever in the favor of those kids. And one of the big obvious tricky aspects to all of this is that the government hasn't yet declared that it's okay for children under the age of 12 to get a vaccine until the studies are finished.
Yeah, that's right, which is kind of why it's going to be a bit of a choose-your-own-adventure in regards to the other mitigation efforts, depending on where you are, distancing, masking, etc. And it sounds as though people are expecting some bumps along the road here. Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, told the New York Times that masking could be a challenge, for instance, in a class that might have students 12 and older with a mix of vaccinated and unvaccinated kids within it.
Yeah, that does seem complicated. Mm-hmm. But back to Delta for just a second. So there's a bump in the country's cases driven by pockets with lower vaccination rates. And as of last Saturday, the U.S. reported the most cases in a day since mid-May. We're not even at 2 weeks past the 4th of July, so I'm expecting that to rise. Mm. And as we talk about returning to the classroom this fall, there's been a recent discussion about possible booster shots. So where does that stand?
Ooh, it is all over the map. So as we mentioned last week, Pfizer is in the process of figuring out a vaccine that is more specifically tailored to Delta. And they also said that according to their own studies, a booster was helpful. But then the Department of Health and Human Services quickly put out this statement saying that fully vaccinated Americans do not need a booster at the moment. And yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci took on the topic as well. Here is what he said on boosters during CNN's State of the Union.
There's a lot of work going on to examine this in real time to see if we might need a boost. But right now, given the data that the CDC and the FDA has, they don't feel that we need to tell people right now you need to be boosted.
I mean, I can't wait till they tell me I need to be boosted. But when can we expect more info on all of this?
Yeah, apparently soon. So Pfizer is going to be briefing some top U.S. health officials on this as soon as today. And apparently one of the primary focuses is whether a booster could be needed specifically for elderly and vulnerable populations. And we are already seeing places here and abroad try to contend with this very question in the face of these increasing infections from Delta. Israel, for example, announced yesterday that it will reportedly offer a third Pfizer dose to adults with weakened immune systems.
Right. So unfortunately, we will have to keep tabs about this as time goes on. But on schools reopening while the threat of the Delta variant is still out there, we'll have a special guest to talk about it later this week.
We'll have Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona joining us on Thursday to answer some of these simple questions. I am kidding. like what reopened classrooms might look like and much, much more. And if you have specific questions you want answered, you can tweet at us. You can find my email. I'm sure you're capable of that. DM me, whatever. But that is the latest for now.
It's Monday Wad Squad, and today's Temp Check, we are talking about sausage math. So a new petition from Heinz Ketchup is trying to solve an age-old summertime food problem by calling for hot dogs and buns to be sold in the same quantities. In their, quote, Heinz Hot Dog Pact, the company points out that hot dogs usually come in packs of 10, while buns come in packs of 8. They want, quote, big bun and big wiener to find a number that works for both of them. So we can stop eating our last two hot dogs on sandwich bread, hamburger buns, or as I like to say, straight no chaser. Heinz claims they don't make hot dogs, so they can't solve this problem alone. We'll pretend for a second that Heinz and Oscar Mayer don't have the same parent company, so we don't ruin their ad campaign. By last night, about 24,000 people had signed the petition. So Gideon, do you support this movement, and has this problem personally affected you in the past?
I definitely support this movement. I can't recall a time where I've like been at an event where I've had to resort to the bread, but I've definitely had a hot dog wrapped in a slice of bread at home. And there's just no reason for that, you know? Like,
yeah, it's pretty embarrassing.
It's super embarrassing. The personal trauma that I went through, you know, individually during that experience has really haunted me in a number of ways. And in fact, this is one of the first times that I've shared it. So in essence, despite the, ad campaign here that we can see with our third eyes, I do support this, in fact. What about you?
I mean, I'm here for it. You know, I'm not opposed to just eating a hot dog, dipping it in mustard and being like the real pig that I am. But if they want, you know, me to be socially acceptable and they want to provide the right amount of buns, I'm here for it. I also think that, like, I'm the kind of person who will just buy as much of however many to even out the numbers. And then you just have way too many hot dogs and buns at a party because you're like, well, now we've hit it. I can't do the quick math to figure that out. I'm sure someone will tell me on Twitter. But yes, I think that that's right. You know, you just got to get there. You got to get 80 of each. And then you're good. Maybe, yeah, I think it must be 80. It might be 40. We don't know for sure. But it's a lot. It's too many hot dogs for one party. I don't have that many friends. But just like that, we checked our tips. Stay safe. If you're a hot dog, just like, you know, meet some more buns. And we'll be back after some ads.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Let's wrap up with some headlines.
Headlines.
Haiti is still in a state of political turmoil after the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse last week. Interim Prime Minister Claude Joseph and Senate President Joseph Lambert are both vying for Moïse's spot. Lambert has the overwhelming support of lawmakers who are calling for a completely new government and leading efforts to oust Joseph. Back in the U.S., a team of FBI and Homeland Security officials are working to help with the investigation into Moïse's assassination. The White House and Pentagon are still reviewing the Haitian government's request to send American troops to help secure the country, but so far, Biden administration officials have expressed resistance to the idea.
Checking in on the live effects of climate change on our planet, the West Coast is currently experiencing record-shattering heat levels across the region. Over the weekend, Death Valley reached a whopping 130 degrees Fahrenheit, making it potentially one of the highest temperatures ever recorded on Earth. Yeah, it is untenable. More than 31 million people are under some kind of excessive heat advisory as they experience the third heat wave to hit the coast this summer. Wildfires broke out in parts of Northern California, Nevada, Oregon, and Arizona, forcing the closures of national parks and evacuation orders for people nearby. The Southwest is experiencing a similar heat dome effect that the Pacific Northwest experienced late last month, where hot, dry ground makes temperatures dangerously hot.
I am tired of hearing about records in
all
these categories.
Yeah, I don't want any more. Well, look forward to more records every year.
Oh, I don't like it. Our nation's most stylish party animals are still throwing ragers in spite of the pandemic. In Plains, Georgia this weekend, former President Jimmy Carter and Rosalind Carter celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary at an event attended by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senator Raphael Warnock, Garth Brooks, that man is truly everywhere, and more. Jimmy is 96 and Rosalind is 93. They drew a crowd of 350 people to their celebration in Plains, which has about 700 residents and no traffic lights, kind of making it more of a realistic train set than an actual town. Bill and Hillary Clinton were also there, despite the rocky history between the Carters and the Clintons. Jimmy didn't endorse Bill during his 1982 presidential campaign, saying, quote, "People are looking for somebody who is honest. Wow, Jimmy." And in 2008, he endorsed Obama over Hillary and encouraged her to, quote, "give it up." At 75 years, the Carters' marriage is now the longest of any presidential couple. Here is to 75 years more.
Yes. Good for them. Happy for them. Yesterday, mankind crossed a new frontier in the quest to send rich people on more exclusive vacations as Sir Richard Branson became the first spaceship company owner to ride one of his own vehicles to space. Branson and his crew traveled about 53 miles above the Earth's surface, allowing them to experience weightlessness. Obviously, the trip led to some deep thoughts about humankind's place in the universe, which Branson summed up as he glided back to Earth. He said, quote, "I've done some ridiculous things in my lifetime, but that was truly, truly ridiculous." That is a real quote. Not exactly as eloquent as other space people, but fine.
No.
All this might make you send a care package and a kind note to Jeff Bezos, whose July 20th spaceflight was going to make him the first astronaut billionaire until Branson changed his own launch date. But don't worry. Bezos' company, Blue Origin, let everyone know that Branson's trip didn't really count by pointing out in a statement last week that it was, quote, "not flying above the Kármán line." And it's a very different experience. Uh-huh. The Kármán line is at 62 miles of altitude, so just 9 more miles, I guess. It's the internationally recognized boundary between Earth's atmosphere and outer space. Bezos will cross it in 2 weeks, reminding the whole world and all the aliens that the best space barons are made right here in the USA.
I honestly don't care because Tyrese and Ludacris already passed the Kármán line, so I'm good.
Yeah, honestly, that I feel you. I think that that's good news and good for Luda, and those are the headlines.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. Don't forget the Kármán line and tell your friends to listen.
And if you're into reading and not just the guest list at 75th anniversary parties like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Akilah Hughes.
I'm Gideon Resnick.
And keep partying it up in planes. That's right. Don't look too gigantic next to them. That's scary. We want 75 more years.
Yeah. You cannot be large if you go to planes. Please.
Yeah. It's the first rule.
First rule.
What A Day is a production of Crooked Media.
It's recorded and mixed by Charlotte Landis.
Sonia Tun and Jazzy Marine are our associate producers.
Our head writer is John Milstein, and our executive producers are Leo Duran, Akilah Hughes, and me.
Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
If you guys like Positive America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Positive America. That includes our new show, which is called Positive America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Positive America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community, is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.